Like when you were in the kind of the whirlwind of your, you know, early 20s, did you have time to even think about what was working, or was just kind of go,
no,
go, go?
Thank goodness. Fuck that.
Hey everybody, this is Casey from This Epic Life Podcast. If you discovered our show either on our site, thisepiclife.com, or in iTunes, I ask you to please, if you get a chance, just pop over to iTunes and leave us a quick review. Just a couple sentences would be awesome. And last week's interview with Ani DeFranco was such a hit. I got a lot of comments on the site from people like Alana and Angie and Ken Bays just asking for more. So here's an additional 16 minutes with Ani DeFranco.
In a coffee shop in our city, which is every coffee shop in every city, on a day which is every day, I picked up a magazine, which is every magazine. I read a story, then I forgot it right away. And they say goldfish have no memory. I guess their lives are much like mine. And the little plastic castle is a surprise every time. And it's hard to say if they're happy, but they don't seem much to mind.
Yeah! The conversations that follow didn't make the first cut because I was trying to keep it down to 30 minutes. But because of high demand, we had to get it out. So here you go. This was recorded live on September 29th in Kent, Ohio.
The last time you played here at the Kent stage, actually, it was the first time I saw you play If You're Not.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems to be a great live anthem these days, and it's on the new record. The line about if you're not getting happier as you get older, then you're fucking up. What was the light bulb that made you realize that that's how life works for you?
Yeah, it's hard for me to make sometimes like simple and effective statements like that, because there's of course 20 sides to everything, and everything that's true is also untrue if you just flip it over, or if you know I remember, like, in the writing process of that song, like, starting to mediate that idea and starting to elaborate too much, and then just being like, fuck it, either this makes sense to you or it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Ed Hamill, a friend of yours and mine, Hamill on Trial, was I was sharing the stage with him right around the time I had just written that song, and I felt because he's, you know, no spring chicken and going through some of the toughest times in his life, and then I was feeling bad, like, I can't play this song for him. He's gonna not appreciate this song.
You know, I've helped him realize that that's true, though.
Yeah,
I think he's lightened up in that regard.
Right.
He's an intense dude.
Yeah.
Intense creator like you. He's just a machine gun of creativity.
Right.
Never stops.
Right.
Saw on the Facebook page, and you probably don't pay a whole lot of attention to this stuff,
no.
I would imagine, but there's a Spotify plugin where you could see just play counts of different songs in your catalog that just pop up in your feed. And the number one, like by a long shot, was You Had Time, kind of a deep album cut off of a very deep catalog by now. And I just think it's really interesting that when you've never operated in the push out singles and create hits type of box, you have this organic demand around certain songs, and a beautiful song like that, that's, you know, could just kind of sustain over time and still gain popularity.
Yeah. It's just, that is cool that there is like a very, as much as my career and my life is affected by the winds of media, probably much less so than a lot of people who that's their main connection point. Whereas, as you say, like, my music has had this very direct, organic connection to its audience over the years, and there is something that's very organic about, that relationship, and realizing a song like, and again, you know, I'm like 42 now, and I'm just starting to look back at the work I've created and go, oh, okay, so that was successful. Mm-hmm. That works. You know, that doesn't. You know, that doesn't. That's just embarrassing.
Like, when you were in the kind of the whirlwind of your, you know, early 20s, did you have time to even think about what was working, or was just kind of go, go, go?
No, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yeah. Fuck that. I mean, you know, I think worrying about... I think an artist should be creating stuff from their spleen, you know, without trying to gauge. Some people are more crafting things for whatever, for radio or for with more of a consciousness towards what works. But the, I guess the kind of art that I, that turns me on is really, you know, unaware of that, as unaware as possible, you know.
Like an innocence.
Yeah, and a bravery, you know, like just to, I mean, I think the only thing that makes me be able to sleep at night, because all of my mistakes and all of my, you know, unfortunate meanderings are all out there. They're all out there for everybody.
You've released them all.
To judge. I've released them all. So the only thing that, you know, helps me in the at the end of the day is, I think that sometimes the failures are the most interesting stuff. You know, you see people when they're completely unedited, and you see, so that's the journey to a successful edited song. Or this is what happens when you when you bail too soon on the writing process. Or here's what happens when you're so wrapped up in your emotional state that you're not paying enough attention to how this recording is, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when the whim of the artist thwarts them.
But if you're only really hell-bent on, like, the evolution of your art and your consciousness, as you say, like, how could any of those things be failures in that regard?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Who's to say? Everybody's process is different. Some people examine what they show the world a lot before they show it to them, and others just throw it out there, you know? And for better or worse, I've been a throw it out there guy, you know. I think now I'm eventually finally becoming a better editor. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe I'm going to explore getting it right before release date instead of after.
I noticed the new album has fewer tracks, it seems, than on average we listened to a lot of the earlier records the past few days, and those were like 14, 15 tracks,
a lot of them.
And they were coming out, it seemed like, every 9 to 11 months at some point there.
Right.
But there's just 11 tracks on this one.
Yeah, so I think I'm shifting from my earlier mode of just, here's my journal, you know, to here's what I've chosen.
Then there's the kids' tracks. They'll naturally be on board. The fun all through which women's lives are poor. Our family is so big, and we're all so very small, that a web of relationship be laid over it all. Over the strata of power piled up to the sky, over the illusion of autonomy on which it relies, over any absolute that nature does not supply. Shall regain her place in a circle of women in a sacred space. Turn off the machines, put away the knives. This amendment shall deliver from bondage the prize.
You just heard a clip of Amendment off the new 2012 album. Which side are you on?
I like how you wrap it up with the imagery of birth. and, you know, the options surrounding, you know, where to even give birth, you know, like, natural, what I read into it, and my wife actually just got certified to be a natural birth instructor.
Oh, cool.
So she's done her 3 births natural. The imagery at the end really stuck with me because so many young women I talk to, they immediately recoil when they're like, natural birth, or they think that natural birth is, you know, with lots of drugs involved.
Right, yeah, really. Natural birth is, if it comes out of your twat at all, like, that's like right. Some kind of radical ancient concept. Right. Yeah, I think that whole, the complete takeover of birth by, you know, the sort of male medical paradigm is very significant, you know, and something that, you know, as you say, until I had a baby, I wasn't really factoring into my feminist thesis, you know,
sure.
How primary that is, you know, just this sort of, you know, act of creation of life being sort of the seat of women's power, and you eject them from it. And everything that it means, you know, instead of a society to turn to women and say, teach us how life works, teach us how brutal and humbling and connecting and empowering this is, teach us how to listen to the, you know, the flow of life and follow it. And instead, no, it's like, shut up. We know best. We're going to control this.
This will be an extraction versus a...
Yeah. And everything that society is unlearning instead of, you know, sort of learning through the process. And then women, individually and collectively, you know, I think pregnancy and birth is a very significant time in the life of a woman, and a time when she's, I think, meant to come into her own power fully if she hasn't already.
Right.
And to connect with other women she hasn't already. And it's a very significant event on those levels for all of sort of female consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take it away and negate it, what does it mean, you know, in terms of the evolution of, you know, things like feminism, you know, women's consciousness, and then how that resonates with, you know, us all. And anyway,
have you always kind of been on the path of, did you always know that you wanted to have kids at some point?
No. My songs are my kids. My job is my life.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I don't know, happy. I mean, totally fulfilled.
Right.
Through all of that, you know, my, you know, my friends and my, whatever. I never really, you know, I'm not a noticeably maternal person, you know? I mean, once you have a kid,
I'm sure you are for your crew and band and stuff.
Yeah, right. You know, and then, of course, you have a kid and you discover sides of yourself that you didn't even suspect were in there. But no, it was never it was a surprise to me.
Once again, I'd like to thank Ani for her time and all the amazing people at Righteous Babe Records. To take us out, this is track 10 off her 2008 album, Red Letter Year. It's a song about the birth of her first daughter. This is Landing Gear. Don't forget to please head over to iTunes and leave us a comment or some feedback on the episode. Thanks so much. Namaste.
Hey, little bag of sugar floating in your biosphere. Summon the courage to put down your landing gear and come out. Exhausted as I drown in polar bear, swimming around looking for a ride. And it's so god awful hot outside. Quit kicking me in the rib every time Adam tells what he did. Man creates woman, he says, sweeping his hand through the air like Mr. Showbiz. And you're gonna love this.
KC from This Epic Life Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at thisepiclife.com, where we just released a 75-page, multimedia, completely free, no email required manifesto on how to live a happier, more integrated life. Check it out.